Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. If you check out episode 46, you will get the most up-to-date information about this nonprofit, meet our board of directors, and learn a little bit more about Story Night's history, our purpose, our mission statement, and our vision for the future. If you've been following us for a while, you know that this is a place where our local ladies are sharing their stories in order to encourage each other and build community and just remind each other that we all have a story, our stories matter, and whatever you're going through, you're not alone. What's so beautiful about this is when we take time to share our stories, we build those bridges and make those connections, because things like cancer or divorce or loneliness or go down the list of all the things that we experience as women, they don't really care what your theological, philosophical, political views are. They don't care how old you are. They don't care about your background or culture or experiences. And so this is just a wonderful way for us to practice the art of listening, build some community, maybe find some common ground with somebody who might be completely different from us. Maybe we don't agree with them or we don't have the same background, but we might have something in common that can build that community, build a relationship. And that is the heart of Story Night. And my guest for this episode has really done a lot of this kind of work of listening to stories of so many people. This is going to be a role reversal for my wonderful guest, Starla. Many of our local listeners know Starla. She is a reporter for the News Register. And I am so excited that she was willing to come tell a little bit of her story here. And now I get to play the role of reporter sort of in this one. So thank you, Starla, so much for being willing to come and do this. I know this is a little out of your normal comfort box.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jessica.
Well, before we start and hear a little bit of your story and what you do and the kind of the adventures you've had in the journalism world, would you introduce yourself to everybody?
I'm Starla Pointer. I live in Carlton with my husband and our pets. We have two kitties and two dinosaurs.
Okay, right there, two dinosaurs.
I appreciate you stopping me on that.
You might need to give some context to the listeners who just went, okay, who is this lady that has dinosaurs?
Well, they're chickens. But I think they're very reminiscent of dinosaurs, and I always wanted a dinosaur, but I love my chickens, so.
Do these dinosaurs have names?
Scratchy and Itchy.
Perfect. So. I love it. You know, when I very first started the first Story Night podcast, I recorded with a woman. This was during COVID, and so everyone was on lockdown, and she sat outside in her yard and recorded her story with me, and her chickens were going all around her feet, and you could hear them in the episode.
Oh, cool. I should have brought Scratchy.
You could have brought them. They could have, you know, chimed in with all their thoughts. Well, I want to start at the beginning, hear a little bit of where you were born, anything about your childhood, and then we'll just let the conversation flow to find out how you got into this world of reporting and journalism. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm from Reedsport, a small town on the coast. I was actually born in Coos Bay because there was no hospital in Reedsport at the time. And later, my father helped build the hospital there. I'm 66, so I was born in 1960. And remember, my first memory was the Columbus Day storm. And my second memory was the funeral of JFK and then the big flood of 1964. So all of my experiences over my lifetime helped me in my reporting, because I have empathy for people who are going through floods or
right.
or cancer, or just it's been a great life. When I was in seventh grade, my band teacher asked for a volunteer to write something for the newspaper about a concert that was coming up. So I did, and I took it down to our local weekly paper, and the editor, Myrtle Sykes, which was you know, in that time, there weren't a lot of women who were editors of newspapers, so that was kind of special to me. She was very helpful and very supportive, and I wrote some more things for the local newspaper, and then I edited the high school newspaper, and then I came to Linfield, where I also edited the Linfield newspaper. My journalism teacher in high school was a 1934 Linfield graduate who had had a newspaper in Carleton, and so he was a big inspiration for me. So I studied communications and psychology at Linfield. I was required to do an internship for my communications degree, and my advisor helped me get an internship at the News Register, and I've been there ever since.
Amazing.
Yeah. I was 21 when I started and turned 22 the next day, and so I've been there two-thirds of my life.
No kidding. And what it's kind of rare, I think, sometimes to talk with somebody who's been in the same field.
Yeah, people are starting to look at me funny for being in the
same
field.
Well, and how much has changed over your career from paper and newspapers to, oh my gosh, now the social media world and AI and all the things. I mean, you've really watched a transformation of how we get news.
I never had a thought that newspapers would not be the primary source of news for people.
Sure.
I mean, of course, there was television news, and when I graduated from college, there was starting to be 24-hour news networks, but, you know, never thought that newspapers would not be as well known or respected as they were for a lot of my career.
Sure. So, well, and people, I think, now are more skeptical of their news sources.
Absolutely.
And is this just a real, neutral, fact-based, true reporting? Or has this been...
Well, I certainly hope that mine is.
Yes.
and I believe that mine is. And I work with great people. And, you know, I always say, you know, I'm providing information. And whether it's about a meeting that's coming up or about one of your neighbors and what their passions are. And, you know, it's not up to me to tell you to like this person or that you should vote for a school bond, but to provide the information about what the school bond would do or what your neighbor does, and then you can decide.
Right. I think that's missing in today's world.
Unfortunately, in a lot of ways. Yeah.
A lot of ways. And we've, you know, especially for anybody who's watched, you know, the documentary that came out a while back, The Social Dilemma, and just kind of explaining how our news sort of gets tailored to us and what we see. It's mostly on social media, and you're not seeing both sides. And very rarely are you seeing anything that comes from a neutral position.
Right.
That's just giving information without any opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be so hard. But the way it should be.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I would find it hard. I find it hard to write my opinion. We have an editorial section, and that does give people's opinions. I don't usually do stuff for that. But when occasionally I've had to do a piece for the Viewpoints cover, and mine are always like, pets are good, you know, or
dinosaurs are great.
Studying foreign language in high school will help you in your future life.
Right.
not strong opinions like other people. Yeah. But yeah, I could do one on dinosaurs.
You could. I think that would be a fun story. While we're on the topic of your reporting world, I want to dive into that a little bit more, and then we're going to go a bit more into your personal life. But just in this reporting world, how do you stay neutral? And I know you had shared a few things with me that I thought were so interesting about what you personally do or don't do in terms of politics and science and some other things in order to truly be a neutral reporter in this town.
Yeah. Well, I love McMinnville and I love the people here, but I have to treat everybody the same. And for one thing, I remember I told you when I was 18, I registered to vote, and I registered with a party affiliation, but I've since changed that because I'm unaffiliated, not connected to anything. Even though I don't cover politics very much, I don't want it to even appear that I favor one side or other. And for the same reason, I wouldn't put a political sign in my yard. I guess if there were two sides, I could put two, one for each side. But and if there's something that I'm very close to, I usually don't do a story about it. An example that I gave you was there's a developer who wants to put a gas station in Carlton. And I can see the side of this from my living room window. And so that's pretty close. So I have not been covering that at all. I could do it, but it's better if I don't. Yeah. And, you know, it's nice that someone else on our staff has been covering that, so I haven't had to.
Right.
It sounds like you just really put a lot of thought into your career and how you are presented to the community. And I mean, I just thought that was such an interesting thing that you were registered with a particular party and presumably had reasons for that and opinions with that.
I was young.
You know, beliefs with that. But then to change that and be unaffiliated and not really show or partake in any quote unquote sides in order to do your job really well with integrity.
Yeah. You know, that's the ethical thing to do, I believe.
And I think there's such an overlap there with the heart of Story Night because our goal is not to change somebody's mind on any particular issue. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to listen, to hear a story. You don't have to agree with the story.
That's what I get to do all the time. And it's really, really wonderful to, I think, to have someone listen to you without judgment.
Right. It seems like it's becoming more rare. We're either too busy or we see what's on social media and just assume that that's somebody's story and we don't take the time to get to know them deeper. Or we make a judgment, make a comparison, and maybe they say something or post something that doesn't align with us. It's a different experience or a different opinion, different belief, and we immediately cut them off. And it's like, oh, we can't have a community, you know, we believe different things. And I just stopped to think, gosh, what would happen if every community had something similar to Story Night, or just a platform, a place, a reason where everybody was real with each other and you actually really knew each other.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I see my work as a way to help people get to know their neighbors that they don't know. And we see our friends on social media and we see opinions that we agree with, but we don't see a lot of the other of strangers who, you know, probably are going to be great if you get to know them.
And in a little bit, we're going to get to a chapter of your life where you got to be very real and the community came around you. And that was such a beautiful moment. But before we get to that, cliffhanger listeners, sorry. Before we get to that, I just want to hear a little bit of, you know, some of the most interesting stories you've covered or people you've talked with. I mean, this is such a long career span of what you've seen and reported on.
And I remember it all. I do. I have a really good memory and I do remember a lot of it.
So if you had to pick a few really interesting or amazing or, I mean, even shocking stories that you've covered, can you give us a few highlights?
Well, I've done a lot of stories about children with cancer or other life-threatening diseases, and those are always really touching. And, you know, I usually end up crying when I'm interviewing the people or maybe even writing the story. Then I can cry in private. But more and more of those children that I've talked to over the years have survived cancer, and that's a wonderful thing. When I was little, my father had cancer, and we spent a lot of time going from Reedsport to Portland, which is about 3.5 hours, because there was no treatment closer in the early 60s. So I'm really glad that there is local treatment for cancer and that there is hope.
And we have some amazing women who have been on this podcast. They've shared their cancer journeys, they maybe don't have their own personal cancer journey, but they are involved in helping people with cancer through amazing nonprofits and other organizations.
Like Caitlin Stickus' program.
With Courage.
With Courage.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. But happier stories. Well, a lot of people have asked me, you know, isn't it great to interview a celebrity, and that's not my favorite by any means, although I have interviewed a few that have been really interesting, including probably my junior high school crush, Tony Orlando. That was very exciting. That was decades later.
Did you tell him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
And he was kind of flirtatious. It was over the phone.
Oh, so funny.
So it was, I felt comfortable telling.
Yep.
But, you know, regular, local, normal people are much my favorite. You know, I was thinking just the other day, I was thinking about I think he was a fifth grader when I interviewed him, but he's into speed cubing, the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, Rubik's Cube. Oh, I had to process that for a minute. Okay, speed cubing.
Yeah, and he had a bag, like a suitcase, full of different Rubik's Cubes, and I learned a lot about that.
Wow.
And, but I always learn a lot from everybody that I interview. It's interesting. Some of my favorite interviews have been with people who've come here from other countries and talking to them for a series I do in December about their holidays when they were children. And that's kind of a way to just an intro to get to know them about the holidays. Ted Lopezinski, who was a county commissioner, had to flee his homeland during World War II and, you know, lost his mother on a train. And it was just a really touching story. And so I've talked to people who've come from the World War II era to high school exchange students about their holiday traditions. And it's always a fun thing.
So do I see correctly on this outline that you also interviewed the Pointer Sisters?
I did. And then I got to go. They were at the casino on the coast in Lincoln City, and they were coming, and I got to go and see their concert and sit next to their brother in the audience.
Yeah. And through it all, you have seen a lot of change, not just globally or nationally.
Locally.
But locally in McMinnville.
Change accelerates, I think. But when I was at Linfield, when I graduated from Linfield, McMinnville was about 13,000. Now it's triple, basically. But when I walk down Baker Street or go to different parts of town, I can remember what was there. Like the sports center was there where the First Federal parking lot is now. And the police station, there's a new modern police station when it used to be actually, I remember two different police stations before that, and they were kind of very small, and on the fire station when that was built. And Linfield, of course, itself has expanded greatly. Hewlett-Packard was here until the mid-90s, and then Linfield expanded onto the land that Hewlett-Packard had had. The school system has grown tremendously. I remember, I didn't go to McMinnville schools, of course, but I remember when the high school was just a three-year high school, and when there was a junior high, and now they're middle schools, and there was one McDonald's when I got out of Linfield, and now there's, 14? No, there's lots more chain restaurants and businesses have replaced some of the local ones, which is kind of sad. Yeah. You know, I love to go to Taylor Dale Hardware, and they were so helpful. If you needed a 5-cent screw, they would, you know, spend 10 minutes helping you find the right one. The Taylor Dale was right across from the News Register office at the time at the corner of 3rd and Ford Streets, and now it's the Tributary Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Lots of changes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that McMinnville has retained its historic, its vintage buildings, and the look of downtown is that always gets raves from people who are visiting. And I've talked to a lot of people who and asked them why they came here, and they always mention 3rd Street, and they usually mention the wineries. And a lot of them are, like I, Linfield alumni who've returned here.
Now, you mentioned that you do a special coverage series in December, mm-hmm. talking to all these people of their holidays and their holiday experiences as mm-hmm. children. And it was last December, the holiday season, when you had a personal change, a time where you got to be, you had that moment of being real, being authentic, and the community came around you. Now, I want to give a little shout out to the McMinnville Chamber of Commerce and the Friday Morning Greeters Group, because so many women that are a part of that group have come onto this podcast to share their stories. And that is just an absolutely phenomenal family-oriented group. And I don't think
it really is.
People would really know is. That unless you come. So everybody should come visit. But what happened last December?
Well, I found out that people do care about me. I started going to greeters because I cover business. the first time I went to Greeters, it was at Hagen Hamilton, and they were talking about the Scottish Festival, and I was so scared to introduce myself, I hid behind one of the big guys in a kilt. But since then, it's become, people actually greet me, and it's kind of fun, and it's very informative. And so, in December, December's really busy for me, and I was just kind of overwhelmed with work, and then I had this person on Facebook say some things that I considered rotten about me. One of them was, well, you know, if so-and-so, you would know this if you did your job better, which offended me. And then I thought, you know, everybody could do their job better. Everybody should strive for that. But anyway, one morning at Greeters, I came in and people were talking about how what a great day it was. And I said, well, it's nice to hear all these positive people. And some people laughed, thought I was joking. And then I burst into tears. And people were nice. That experience and the reaction of a lot of the people led me to decide to go back to church. And that's been a wonderful change in my life. I've been going to a great Bible study group. We're studying women of the Bible, strong women. And it's really been a good change in my life.
Yeah. And what a beautiful picture of a group, a community that came around.
Yes. You know, yeah.
That yeah. saw that you're a real person with real feelings. And sometimes, I mean, we kind of laugh to say that, but I think our society forgets that sometimes.
Right.
That these people that we spend our time with have real stories, real emotions, all the things, and there's probably some common ground. And to feel comfortable enough to show what was really going on in your heart in a big group setting. I mean, that's
yeah,
a lot of
people
there.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there.
And I'm so honored to be part of a group that would come around somebody.
That was a really, really moving experience. I kind of didn't want to go back the next week, but I did.
We're very glad you did.
So
yeah, you are well-loved in the community. And
well, thanks.
You mentioned something that probably everyone can relate with. When somebody says something hurtful.
Yeah.
Everybody has experienced that. No matter what our background experiences, you name all the things that make us different. We've all been hurt by words.
That's true.
All of us have been hurt by words. Those words can sting and they can leave really lasting mm-hmm. scars. I'm just so thankful that you found a place where you feel you're finding even more
too.
Community
yes.
and yeah. connection. That's what community is supposed to be.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And I think the more we get to know each other, the better community we will be.
Absolutely.
And we're better together.
You had something that you shared that I think is also pretty universal, that probably every listener can relate with at some point in her life. And that's a lack of confidence.
Oh, yeah. I frequently second guess myself. And sometimes I don't ask for something I need because I think, who am I to ask? But I'm working on that. So I've always been extremely shy. Part of that, I think, comes from being teased as a child. And part of it, I don't know. I don't know why, but I'm working on that too. But I found a great career because being a reporter gives me a role to ask people questions and to get to know them. You know, if you just took me to a party, I would stand against the wall. But as a reporter, I can go up to people and talk to them. And I think I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah. And what a beautiful thing to find the career that fits you. And it, in many ways, it brings you out of your shell and connects you with all of these people.
Oh, absolutely.
That maybe you wouldn't otherwise have based on, you know, personality or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That concept, lack of confidence. Again, there's so many people. This is what I've discovered so often in talking to women. There are a lot of ladies who appear to be the most confident, outgoing, self-assured, secure, got it all together women. Mm-hmm. And if you take the time to hear their stories, they also have insecurity. They also struggle with confidence. They also have moments of, I don't want to go there because I'm going to be alone and who's going to talk to me? And it's, I use this example all the time because people who know me generally know I'm quite extroverted and pretty outgoing.
And I'm glad that you are.
But the junior high girl in me comes out all the time of, where should I sit when I go to an event? Who do I sit next to? Like,
oh yeah,
who would include me? That feeling of being excluded from junior high bullying days, like that sticks with you for decades, even as an adult. And so I think, you know, again, it's a conversation, it's a topic that any listener can relate with.
As a reporter, I go into a meeting or a room and I pick a seat where I can see the person who's speaking and I can see the audience, and, you know, without having to turn around, obviously, and stuff. And so I sometimes even sit in the front row, which I would never do. You notice when you go to an event, usually the front row has plenty of seats.
Yeah, the front row is always empty. But when you're sitting there as a reporter, you know, with your notepad and your, you know, you look like, okay, I have a job here. Yes. I'm supposed to be in the front and no one's going to look at me strange if I'm sitting, you know, by myself in the front.
It's a suit of armor. Kind of.
Completely. That's a great way to describe that. Yeah. I wanted to ask one more part of your life story, because you mentioned your husband at the beginning of the episode. I was just curious, when and how did you meet him?
Well, I never saw myself getting married, first of all. And that was just something that I accepted. But I met my husband when I was 40, I think. And I had returned to Linfield to play in the band as an alum in the pep band for football and then basketball games.
Oh my goodness, we missed that part of your story. What instrument do you play?
Oh, I play the saxophone.
That's amazing. Yeah. Can you do that at Greeters one time?
not now, but I love music. Just to digress a little bit, I love music. I've played the saxophone since I was 11, and I haven't practiced it in recent years, but I played in the band at Linfield and, of course, in high school. And then I came back, I started playing again when Second Winds started, and I played in Second Winds for several years, and then I played in the Frank Messina Big Band. And I'm a really good band member. I show up, you know, and I'm not a soloist, but I was a good member of the band. And so I always got there and helped set up things. And then my husband, after I met him in the pep band, he also joined the Frank Messina band. And so we got to do that together for several years. Played at the Mayor's Ball a couple times and played at various venues. There was one particular organization we played for at a dance, and as the evening wore on, people started directing the band. But anyway, when I was in the Frank Messina band, I always wanted to sing with the band, and I was just too scared to even ask. But I have, for the last 8 years, I guess, I've sung with the Carlton Blues Band.
What?
A couple numbers. It's a band that Carlton Police Chief Kevin Martinez started.
Oh, yeah.
And some other local people. So I just was kind of joking with Chief Martinez and said, well, you haven't asked me to sing in the band. And he said, oh, well, okay. And then it was like I had to put my money where my mouth was.
Literally.
And so the first year I went down to the park where the concert was going to be, and I just almost turned around and went home. I was so scared. But I sang, and the musicians, really great musicians, very supportive. And then I have done that since then. And it finally, like 2 years ago, it became more fun than scary.
Took a little while, but you got there.
So
what a beautiful thing for, you know, you described yourself as being very shy, and here you are singing in a band, and we need to come watch you. Is there a link? Can we put...
Oh, well, I'm assuming they will ask me to sing with them again this summer, but we'll sing at the National Night Out event on the first Tuesday in August, and then there's a fundraiser for the Make-A-Wish Foundation that's an all-day concert in Carlton that we will play at.
See, I just wanted to, I was curious about how you met your husband, and then I got all of this other information. And this is why, listeners, this is why we need to sit and take time to hear the stories of people we already know.
I always tell kids when I talk to them about interviewing, listen to people and follow up on what they say. And then I use the example of the dinosaurs, or, you know, maybe I'll say I have a giraffe in the backyard, or and usually they don't follow up on it. So I appreciate that, Jessica. So going back to my husband had two daughters who were grown up when we got married. So I haven't really been much of a stepmother, but they're wonderful young women. And one of them lives in Virginia and one lives in Arkansas, and she has two daughters. So they're my granddaughters. And she recently sent me a recipe she had developed for 10 plagues soup, a Passover recipe with ingredients that represented the different plagues.
Oh my goodness. Okay, immediately my head is just thinking like, okay, frogs, locusts, flies, well, blood. This does not sound like a soup though.
Well, green pepper strips represented the frogs.
Okay, this is making me feel better.
and black beans represented something, and pearl onions. So
yeah,
it did call for grasshoppers, and I skipped that step.
Fair enough. Yes.
So
yeah,
it was a very good recipe. We enjoyed the soup, and so I sat down and wrote to my stepdaughter. I wrote an email to her when the soup was simmering, and I think she was pleased that I did her recipe.
What a beautiful thing to go from being in your late 30s, thinking that you'll maybe never be married,
right,
or experience motherhood or grandmotherhood.
And right,
then
right.
The gift of finding your husband.
That's what's a wonderful, unexpected treasure in my life.
I'm so glad. We always wrap up our episodes with some encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And you said unexpected treasures, which just made me think there might be some encouragement in there. Maybe there are some listeners who are feeling like their treasures are never going to come, or maybe they'll never find the right person or the right career, or somebody who relates with the feeling of shyness or maybe lack of confidence. But for anybody listening, from your life story, is there any encouragement you'd like to give them?
Well, with shyness and lack of confidence, you know, as much as it seems that people are watching your every move and judging you, it's really not true. And if they are, then that's their problem. So, you know, I don't need to be. It's hard to overcome that, but you go out and do what you want to do, which is morally right. And people will celebrate that and not judge you as much as you think. And there's always hope. Other people care. Even strangers care. On Friday, my car broke down in traffic, heavy traffic, on 99W in front of Burger King. I was in the middle lane and it wouldn't start. I looked in the rearview mirror and these two men came running up and pushed my car off the road so I was safe. And I don't know who they are, but they cared.
You had something that was so beautiful in your outline, that there really are a lot of good stories. There are a lot of positive things.
Oh, yes.
We get so bogged down by the negative and the ugly and the dark in the news world. I just think, what would happen if there was a newspaper that only shared the beautiful stories, the amazing stories, the inspirational stories, the good news.
Mm-hmm.
If we had good news on our social media, if for 1 week we could shut down every negative, right? If just for 1 week, if the whole world did not hear one negative thing and they only heard the positive things,
mm-hmm,
what might happen?
Well, some people would still see that as negative.
Fair point. That's true. There, yes.
But I was telling Jessica that I see what I write as information, and I don't really usually think of it as being positive or negative. It's things people need to know. And there are a lot of things I think people need to know that most people think of are negative, such as the existence of child abuse. This happens to be National Child Abuse Prevention Awareness Month. And so I've been thinking about that.
Yeah.
But so it's negative that that happens still, but it's important that we know that it still happens, because if we don't know, it's not going to change.
Right.
But there are so many things that I write that I know people perceive as positive, and that's great. Like the Yamhill Carleton High School FFA team winning a national event last fall. You know, I write things about people. I do a column every Friday about it, usually about a different person and their passions, and those are part of my job that I enjoy the most. But I hope that those are inspiring to people, whether it's about someone who is a painter or someone who collects something or somebody who does their job very well. Mm-hmm. I got to ride with a garbage man picking up stuff right after Christmas one year. It was fun.
No shortage of adventures.
Yeah, there is no shortage of adventures. Right. There's no shortage of stories, because everybody has a story. Yeah. Or maybe a bunch of stories.
Absolutely. And that is why we have Story Night, because we all have a story. We all have many chapters in our lives, and they matter, and they're worth sharing, and they're important. Somebody needs to hear them.
Yes.
And I do encourage anybody out there to think about how you would share your story. I mean, for many people, that's not going to be on a stage in front of hundreds of people. For many, that's not going to be.
I absolutely couldn't do that.
on a blog or a book or a podcast. But maybe it's just your neighbor, or maybe somebody in your family needs to hear a part of your story, and they need to realize that you understand them, or that they're not the only one going through whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are new to Story Night, in addition to this podcast, speaking of women sharing their stories on stage, we host 4 events each year where a woman is sharing her story in front of hundreds of women. And our next one is coming up around the corner at the end of this month on April 30th. This is going to be at the Shehalem Cultural Center in Newburgh. This is a free event, but you do need to get a ticket on our website, storynighthope.com, so that we know how many women are coming and that we make sure that we have enough food, enough chairs, and so forth. We expect about 300 or more women there.
That's amazing.
It has grown, and it is so fun. And we want all of you to be there if you can. So don't delay. Jump on the website, get your free ticket, invite your girlfriends, and show up. Doors will open at 6:15, and the story begins at 7 o'clock. This is a night that includes snacks and beverages and amazing prizes with some raffle giveaways, and an incredibly inspirational and powerful story from Lindsay Cooper. Lindsay is a mother of 5, and her 7-year-old son, several years ago, was hit by a truck. He suffered a traumatic brain injury that forever changed his life and the family's lives. That could have spiraled any mom into a pretty dark and hopeless place. But Lindsay kept her thoughts steady. She's now a certified master life coach, helping so many other people handle their life circumstances and what happens, and what do you do with them, and how do you think about them, and how do you move forward, how do you stay positive, and how do you still have hope? You don't want to miss her story. It's amazing. And we would love to have you there. Now, if you happen to be listening to this after April 30th, 2026, still go on the website, because you can see whatever event we have coming up next and get tickets to that one. Now, none of this would be possible without some support. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and these events are free. And in order to offer free events, we need some funding and some donations and sponsorships. So if Story Night has touched you in any way and you'd like to make a donation, it could be just $5 one time. There is a link in the episode notes where you can make that tax-deductible donation. And if you're a business listening and feeling inspired and wanting to partner with us in any way, we have a lot of different options there, whether it's donating a small prize or being a diamond sponsor and advertising through Story Night. And we have to give a huge shout out to our 2026 headline sponsoring business, Grace Craze. Thank you so much to Grace Craze for partnering with us this year. We just love everything that you do. And for anyone who's unfamiliar with Grace Craze, it's an international franchise of incredible charcuterie boards and boxes. And we have a Grace Craze here in McMinnville, owned by Jennifer Richter. You can hear her story on episode 28 of this podcast, and we really encourage you to do that. She's an incredible woman with an incredible business and a big heart. So my challenge to everybody listening is to take a moment, grab a friend, maybe somebody you know really well, maybe somebody you just met, go over to Grace Craze, get a charcuterie box, go on a picnic, and take the time to ask her to tell you her story. I think you'll be amazed at how much you learn, and let's keep building community that way. So thank you to Grace Craze and Jennifer. Thank you to all of the businesses who partner with us. Thank you to you, Starla.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you doing this. For somebody who calls herself shy and says that she maybe had a lack of self-confidence, this was really brave of you. And it takes courage.
You're pretty scary. But no, you did great. I appreciate the questions.
Well, thank you for being willing to do this. You have a beautiful story, a beautiful heart. You are very important in our community. And we need people like you. So thank you for your career of reporting and bringing the news in a neutral and authentic way to all of us. We appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, ladies, for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night Podcast. We hope that you were encouraged and blessed in some way, and that you come back and join us next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story, your story matters, and you are not alone.